Let's do it. Let's do it. Broadcasting from around the world, you're listening to The First 100, a podcast on how founders acquired their first 100 paying customers. Here's your host, Hadi Radwan.
Good to have you on the show, Shani. How are you doing today?
Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining. Thank you. You're doing a very interesting startup with a very noble mission. Shani Bosyan is the founder of Alermi, which is the world's first allergy medication customized by a physician and delivered door all online. You've raised around $4 million to date, and you're licensed in almost all the states in the U.S. You're addressing a very worsening U.S. allergy epidemic, I would guess. Shani, tell us, what inspired you to build Alermi?
So I've had allergies my whole life, ever since I was a little baby. And I'm very lucky because my dad is an allergy specialist. He's been practicing allergy immunology for about 32 years now at Stanford. And so it's always been a part of my life, both as an allergy sufferer, but also the daughter of an allergy specialist. So when I realized that the problem was so much bigger than just me and so much bigger than my dad's practice, and you know, there are actually about 100 million people who suffer from nasal allergies and nasal symptoms like I'd suffered from my whole life, it became very clear to me that we had a big problem to solve and that there is a big opportunity to improve medication and healthcare for allergy sufferers.
Amazing. Tell us, how does Alermi work? And if I were an 8-year-old, how shall I understand your business model?
So Alermi has a flagship product, which is a custom prescription nasal spray. And what we do with that nasal spray is we take multiple medications that each treat a different kind of symptoms. And then we put them together into the same formula based on each patient's unique set of symptoms. So for example, people who suffer from allergy can have stuffy nose, runny nose, itching, sneezing, post-nasal drip, but not everybody experiences those symptoms the exact same way. Some people have way more congestion. Some people have way more runny nose. Some people have way more itch and sneeze. And so they need different balances of medication in their nasal spray to most effectively treat their symptoms. So what we do is we give everybody a quiz, and they take this quiz and they tell us all about their symptoms, their severity, their medical history. And then we create a formula for them that combines the right medications at the right dosages all into one single little nasal spray magic potion. And then they take it and it works more effectively for them than if they were to buy something off the shelf or over the counter. And then it's prescribed by a physician, it's formulated in a pharmacy, and then once you try it, you can try it for a few weeks. If it's working for you, that's great. But if you say, like, oh, I still have runny nose, or I still have congestion, you can come back to us and we'll adjust your formula so that it's more precise and optimal for you.
Amazing. I think this is a great model. It's more of a D2C, I guess. Does the customer go to your website? What's your early acquisition strategy? How did you find the early customers?
So our very first early customers were family and friends and the friends of family and friends. So it was really like an organic network of people who all said, you know, like, oh, I know someone who has really bad nasal congestion, or I know someone who has really bad allergies. And we were able to like do a lot of beta testing with that initial group of people. But then kind of the next largest subset of early customers we found from marketing on Meta, a little bit on TikTok, and that was primarily how we got kind of our next phase of customers was from direct-to-consumer social media ads.
If I'm someone who's suffering from allergies, so I wake up usually in the morning, I have stuffy nose, probably from dust, I don't know. If I answer the question and you send me, do I expect that I need to reorder the medicine on a continuous basis, or is it a one-time medicine?
No, there's no cure for allergies. So there's nothing that you can take once and then your allergies go away. It just doesn't exist yet. Maybe one day scientists will develop a way to fix allergies, but right now we don't have that. So we think of allergy as a chronic disease, just like diabetes or high cholesterol or epilepsy. You have to take a medication every day in order to manage your symptoms and keep symptoms at bay. And so the same goes for nasal allergies, for rhinitis, nasal congestion. This is a chronic disease that unless we treat it with medication, we're going to experience the symptoms of it. And the reason for that is because we live in a very allergic and inflammatory environment. You know, you can clean your house as much as you want, but there's still going to be dust mite because of the geography and the climate that you live in. Or, you know, you can stay indoors, but the moment you go outside and you're exposed to pollens from trees and grasses and weeds, your symptoms are going to flare. And so there's really no way for us to stop this inflammatory environment that we live in unless you were to move to Antarctica or something like that. And so in just short of having a cure for allergies, we have medication that is safe to use daily that we can use to keep symptoms away.
That's amazing. I mean, if I think today, if I'm someone who needs an allergy medicine, if I'm using something off the counter and it's working, and Allermy is a new brand, how do you convince me to switch? Because if something is working for these people, usually they stick. Say, you know what, I'm not going to try something new. How did you think about this? Because this is also common in other industries when you're switching brands.
For sure. So we really think about Allermy as meant for people for whom over-the-counter medication isn't working. And that's a huge number of people. That's tens of millions of people who are dissatisfied with the medication that they can get over the counter. If you're taking an allergy medication and it's working for you, there's no reason for you to switch. But if you're dissatisfied with the amount of relief that you're getting, or you're still waking up with a stuffy nose, or you're experiencing side effects, at that point, you might be looking for a better alternative, at which point we target you with Allermy, and you're probably more like the right customer that we want to convert.
Walk us through your acquisition strategy. So you said you used Meta or Facebook and other social media channels. How do you think about how to find those best keywords maybe or best intent?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with geography, age. I mean, rhinitis is such a common condition. I mean, it's one out of three people who experience it. So we can actually be pretty broad in our marketing, which is great for cost efficiency and still be able to locate the ideal customer. But it's also, you know, searching for people who have expressed interest in things like air purifiers and humidifiers and other allergy medications and nasal strips and other breathing aids and other areas in respiratory wellness or health in general. We definitely in the beginning targeted people who were interested in pets and people who had like an interest in animals, because those obviously animal dander is a huge cause for allergic symptoms. And so people who have pets are more likely to experience those symptoms. So I think it was just really the right mix of searching people by age group, by geography, by interests. And yeah, so far it's been working pretty well. We've been able to acquire people pretty efficiently.
Amazing. If you were to think about non-scalable strategy, is there anything that you guys have implemented that's not scalable in the future, but you had to do it early on just maybe to prove product market fit or get the first customers to talk about you?
And one of the really kind of big things that we've always wanted to focus on is ensuring that the strategy we're using to acquire customers is scalable, because we didn't want to invest money or sort of convince investors on a strategy that isn't scalable. I think it's part of just being really cash efficient and careful with our spend is ensuring that things are scalable and giving us a high ROI. So for example, like one of the things we tested in the beginning was like a direct mail campaign. So we targeted people in certain zip codes and we sent them an Allermy postcard. We used some tool to help us do it. And their ROI was terrible. Like the conversion rate was unbelievably low. And I think maybe we got like a handful of conversions. And so immediately we knew that that's not something we wanted to pursue. It just totally wasn't scalable. It wasn't efficient at all. And it just wasn't something worth investing in. Even though, like, theoretically, you'd think, okay, I'm going to target people in zip codes where there's really high allergen counts, really high pollen counts. It seems like it would make sense, but that was a terrible outcome. So we completely discontinued that. Also, word of mouth in the beginning. I remember talking to investors and telling them, like, oh, you know, we acquired a couple customers from a Reddit post or patients of my dad or family and friends. And they were like, that's great, but that's not scalable. That doesn't give us evidence that this is a scalable business. That's just very early, non-scalable organic marketing. And those patients were really useful because we got to test out a lot of the formulas and the process and the speed with which we can fulfill an order and the packaging and things like that. But in terms of actually like proving out scalability, those weren't the most kind of helpful cohorts.
What has been the most challenging part in building your startup? Anything that maybe you haven't expected and you realized, oh, it's harder than it seems?
I think with nasal spray, people really need a lot of guidance and coaching about how to take it correctly. It's really different from, like, let's say taking a powder and mixing it into your drink, or swallowing a vitamin or a pill, or putting on a lotion. Nasal spray is really complicated. You have to have your head in the correct position. You have to sniff it up the right way. You have to be really careful about what dosage you take. If you take it wrong, it can drip down your throat and taste really bad or cause irritation. Or if your nose is too dry before you take it, it can cause a lot of like burning and sneezing. And so it's kind of a really complex thing that people have to do right in order to have a good experience. And because I've been taking it my whole life, I don't think I've realized how challenging it can be, especially for someone who's an adult who's never taken a nasal spray before, or who's been taking it wrong their whole life and never trained to take it correctly. And so I think building out the materials and the language to be able to educate people on how to do this correctly, and then being able to offer them like the care and support to have the most optimal experience with us was a lot more challenging than I thought. And it's still a challenge. I mean, every day we get messages from patients who report side effects that are clearly due to incorrect use. And it's not their fault. It's not an intuitive thing to take nasal spray with your head down and then to sniff it up. It's not intuitive. And so it's still a challenge that we're trying to figure out every day, is like, okay, how do we ensure that people are taking this correctly so that they get the best experience and so they can stay on board and really start to improve their symptoms?
If you can share with us like two tips that has helped you in raising your first round, can you share with early startup founders?
Sure. Fundraising tips. Definitely stay organized. I'm sure most people listening have thought of this already, but you creating like a CRM, like a spreadsheet that tracks every interaction that you've had, everyone that you want to target, color coding it, you know, marking it by first meeting, second meeting, pass, follow on, whatever. That really helped me just kind of have a vision board for how I wanted the fundraise to look and where I was at any stage. So for example, like if one of our board members called and was like, where are you at with the fundraise? I could pull up that spreadsheet and tell them exactly how many meetings I'd had, who had passed, who was interested in continuing the discussions, why people passed. So that was really helpful to stay organized and really just kind of keep things efficient. The other thing I would say is investors will pass. Most investors will pass. You only need one who's going to say yes, or maybe a handful. And I think it's really important to kind of keep track of why investors are saying no and look for patterns and see if there's anything that you can change in the business that may make your business more compelling to invest. For example, so if several investors are telling you like this gross margin is too low or we're concerned about market size, then those are then things that you can put up front in your deck and in your conversations with investors to prepare better for their objections. But at the same time, investors, their job is to pass on companies. So they say no to 1,000 companies or 999 companies and say yes to one. And so taking their passes with a grain of salt is also really important, I think, and understanding that their job is to say no. And oftentimes they'll come up with some reason, and maybe that was the real reason, and maybe it wasn't the real reason. I would say to someone, don't change your business too much based on the feedback of the investors that you speak to. You know, don't pivot your business model like crazy. Don't change your pitch like crazy. If you believe in what you're doing and you have reason to believe that this is a scalable venture aligned business, don't take that feedback too critically. But at the same time, keep track of it and try and sense if there are some kind of patterns that you can trace.
Is there a principle that you live by that has served you well on your journey?
Definitely. Gosh, let's see. I think being very honest and kind at the same time is probably the most important, like, core set of values that I think benefit you in personally and professionally. I think one of the worst things is just like passive aggressive or dishonest feedback. Because how else are people supposed to learn and grow? But at the same time, feedback should always be given in a way that's kind and that's not like personally accusatory or cruel or demeaning. And I think that if you are kind and honest, you'll have better relationships personally, but also like you'll have a happy team. You know, I've seen teams that are led by people who are dishonest and unkind. And that's the worst. But, you know, I've also seen people who are very brutally honest and also very unkind and demeaning, and like their teams are miserable. Obviously, we all have a shared goal in mind. We want to start this business. We want to make money. We want to raise funding, whatever. But at the end of the day, like if you have a team that's working with you, they need to stay happy and you need to be able to retain them. And I think like nurturing honest and kind relationships with your teammates is probably one of the most important parts of being a professional.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think about culture at Alarmy?
That's such a good question. You know, one of the things that we don't emphasize and haven't invested money in is like building community and building culture. I think that I've selected teammates where that's just not really important to us. The culture is we work hard, we trust one another, we speak kindly to one another, and we grind really hard. We don't have like a typical 9-to-5, 40-hour work week. Like all of us are always working because we just believe in this mission so much. But like we don't spend time doing team building activities or getting to know one another, like doing lots of in-person retreats. I think all of us would rather spend our capital in customer acquisition and like making the business better. And I think that's just the nature of like the team members that we've brought together here. So, you know, I don't think any of our team members rely on Alarmy to be kind of their source of community or family or anything like that. Like everybody has their own individual lives and interests. And then this is just really like our passion project where we're so aligned by the mission and so excited by the work that we just grind really hard. So I would say that that's kind of the culture that we've created.
Amazing. What's next for Alarmy?
We really just want to grow. I mean, right now, Americans are spending $15 to $20 billion a year on nasal sprays, and 70% of them are dissatisfied with the, actually more, 70 to 90% are dissatisfied with the results that they're getting. And so there's clearly like a huge population of people who need a better nasal spray experience, who need to be able to breathe through their nose, who need to be able to sleep without mouth breathing, who need to be able to get through the day without blowing their nose 100 times or carrying around tissues or having a runny nose or post-nasal drip. There's like tens of millions of people who need relief, and we feel like they're very neglected by the market. They suffer in silence. People say, oh, it's just allergies. It's just allergies. Well, no, it can be really debilitating if you can't sleep and you can't breathe through your nose and you can't taste food and you can't exercise. It can be terrible, majorly life impacting. So I think for us now, the mission is get us into the hands of everybody who needs us and who would benefit from us. And we'll continue changing the lives of people who formerly were unable to breathe. And then once they start Alarmy, they have normal breathing. I think right now that's our biggest goal.
Amazing. We wish you the best of luck on your journey. How can people reach you, and are you hiring?
We're not currently hiring. We may be in the future, but we are on LinkedIn under Alarmy. We're on Instagram under Get Alarmy. We're on Facebook. You can go to alarmy.com. If anybody listening has rhinitis or hay fever or nasal congestion, you can sign up at www.alarmy.com and go through the medical intake process. And no, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for stopping by. I wish you the best of luck. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the First 100. We hope it inspired you in your journey. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify, and share it with a friend starting their entrepreneurship journey. Leave us a 5-star review. Your support will help spread our podcast to more viewers.